Amen. So this morning we come to building up the church and coordinating with the saints in the homes. So this is a very important message because we need to see what we as college students, what we as young people can do in order to build up the church. And I'd like to start with Haggai, some verses in Haggai, chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 and 8. It says, "Then the word of Jehovah came through Haggai the prophet, saying, 'Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled up houses while this house lies waste?'" And verse 8 says, "Go up to the mountain, bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it and will be glorified, says Jehovah." So we need to realize that today God is building a church. God is building a house. And it was really quite funny when I learned that I'd be sharing this message, my wife asked me what the message title was, and I read it to her, and I said, "Building up the church and coordinating with the saints in the homes." And she said exactly what I was thinking at that time. She said, "What does that have to do with the Lord's coming?" And I'm just so burdened. I'm so burdened that we would all see what this has to do with the Lord's coming. That actually the building up of the church in the homes is crucial. It's critical for the Lord's second coming. And I would like to, actually make this message a follow-up message to the message on the nucleus that we heard yesterday. You know, we see that as students, there needs to be a nucleus on the campus. There needs to be a vitality among the students that is profitable for the gaining of fruit at the college campuses. But a few things that we heard yesterday. One was bearing fruit individually is not necessary. It is not necessary for you to by yourselves bear fruit. We have each other. That's why we have the nucleus, right? And the students are extremely important. But what do you need to bear fruit? You heard Phil say, we need gifted people. No. We need full-timers. No. You need a free student parking on the edge of campus. No, right? We need the Spirit and we need each other. We need the body of Christ. We need a burden to go out. And I really appreciated seeing what the gospel is. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. It says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, even as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." Now this is a very important verse. In this verse, Paul talks about what the actual gospel is. The actual gospel is not persuasive words of power. It is not convincing people of anything. But actually, the last part of the verse says, "even as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." So consider for a moment, how did the Thessalonians know what kind of men Paul and the apostles were? How did they really know? The way they knew is because they were in the homes. The apostle Paul was not in Thessalonica, going there and just seeing them once a week, but he was living with them. He was in their homes. They knew who he was. And this is how the gospel came. It wasn't in persuasive words of wisdom, but actually it was in power of the Holy Spirit, even as the Thessalonians knew what kind of person Paul was. So we need to be so burdened that the homes are really the vehicle by which the church is built up. It really, and this is our vision in the Lord's recovery. This is the God-ordained way to bear fruit. We use this term in the Lord's recovery, the God-ordained way. The God-ordained way is the homes. This is how God has set in order to bear fruit. And it's so practical. It really is. It's very practical. So practical, in fact, that Christianity is picking up on this. I can testify for a fact on our campus and in Gainesville, we've met a lot of Christian clubs that are now starting this practice of what they call life groups or what they call home groups. And praise the Lord! Because we shouldn't be jealous. We shouldn't say, oh, this is the way we've been doing it in the Lord's recovery for years. But We should praise the Lord. This is actually how God has ordained. This is the biblical view of house-to-house church life. And so I really am quite burdened for the title. It says building up the church and coordinating with the saints in the homes. So we need to ask, what is coordination and whose responsibility is it? So I'm going to draw, I don't know if you guys have ever heard, actually the brother shared on it earlier in the week. He talked about the threefold cord. The threefold cord is not easily broken. And you might hear a little bit from this, about this from Brother Tim, but there's three categories of people that we're focusing on with the threefold cord. There's the community saints, there's the full-timers, and then there's the students. So this is our threefold cord in the church life. And so when we ask ourselves, whose responsibility is it to bear fruit? What we often get is this. We often think, I don't know, this is just my experience. We think that the full-timers coordinate with the community saints. And then over here, the full-timers coordinate with the students. And so what happens is the students and the saints become quite the students and the community saints, C is for community, become quite separated. And then the full-timers just become the vehicle. And this isn't terrible. But what another way that it ends up happening is the full-timers become the bridge. And we often talk about the full-timers being the bridge into the homes. And this is also okay. This is a full-timer's job is actually to take and bridge the gap between the students and the community saints. But it should not end there. This should really be the model of how the students come into the home meetings. But once the students are in the home meetings, there should be a bridge that's naturally gonna bring these two together. And this is the burden of this message, is that we would bridge this gap, that the students would actually coordinate with the saints directly, and that it wouldn't be this intermediary between the students and the community saints, but actually they would coordinate together. And so I'm really burdened, actually, too. Also, I want to elaborate a little bit more, too, for the church kids. I'm really hoping that the church kids learn how to not use their parents as an intermediary to the community saints. Don't let your only interaction with community saints be through your parents. If you're a young person, and you need to encourage the young people who are in high school and even junior hires, that they would be in contact with the community saints themselves in their home meetings. So it's not just through their parents, but actually they're getting built up with the community saints. And so this is the vision that we have. This is the threefold cord that we talk about a lot in the church life. And I'm hoping that Brother Tim will tomorrow talk a little bit more about it. And I also want to elaborate a little bit more. The church kids, speaking directly to you, you have had years. You've grown up in the ministry. You've grown up in this model of where we have the home meetings, we have the church life, and we need you. We desperately need the church kids who have been in this for years to participate and to be the ones who are spearheading, not the ones who are being dragged along, but the ones who are running, who are challenging people. If there's no home meetings, we need home meetings. If there's not so much communication between you and the community saints, you should initiate it. You should be burdened for this. And you shouldn't just let the full-timers, if you have full-timers on your campus, be the intermediary. If you don't have full-timers on your campus, then you must. If you don't have full-timers on your campus and you're not connected with the community saints, well, then there's nothing. You have nothing. So I'll give a couple of practical examples. For instance, let's say you're in a home meeting and there's a brother in your home meeting whose number you don't have. I'm talking to the brothers. And same with the sisters. If there's a sister in your home meeting whose number, phone number you don't have, why don't you just ask them for their phone number? A brother who you've seen every week, but you never call him on the phone, you never talk to him or pray with him. Why don't you just ask him for his phone number? That will facilitate some dear fellowship. And also another practical point, I was hoping, how about prayer? How about in your home meeting, you have a brother, or for the sisters, a sister, who you pray with once a week for the fruit bearing. So you shouldn't just be content with coming to the meeting once a week and receiving something. I'll give you my personal testimony. I came into church life around the end of 2005, the beginning of 2006, and I would go to meetings every week for about 3.5 or 4 years, but I never really brought anyone in. Occasionally, I would talk to my friends. I would say something to them about this newfound ministry that I found, but I would never, it's not like every week I had to bring somebody, you know? And so what ended up happening was 3.5 to 4 years went by, and I was never really burdened as one that would bear fruit until I moved away from Gainesville. I moved to Jacksonville. And when I moved to Jacksonville, I had the realization, okay, now the church life is not just for me, but it's to me for you. It's, you know, I need to enter into the fruit bearing work. But I'm sorry. It shouldn't take 3 or 4 years. It really should just be 3 or 4 weeks. You know, once someone comes into the home meetings, their newness in the church life should be measured in weeks, maybe a couple months. But once you're in the church life, you know, in for a couple weeks, you can enter into the fruit bearing work too. And we need to also burden our fruit. Well, now that you're here, now that you've enjoyed the meetings, you know, you're coming. How about you? Why don't we pray together for your friend? You know, how about one or two people, you know, that you're burdened for, that they would know the Lord too. They would enjoy the same things that we're enjoying. You know, the fruit can also bear fruit, and that's the vision that we have and we need to have. So at the center of this diagram is the new ones. The new ones, the community saints, the students, and the full-timers are all three. They're focusing on the new ones who are in the center, and they're praying for and coordinating. And so I really am burdened. And don't think, I mean, think about it. Just 5 minutes a week. How about get with a brother or a sister in your home meeting and just pray. Just pray for 5 minutes a week for one new one. How about every week? You just say, I want to bring this person. And if the number is zero, let's say the number is zero, you don't have anybody who you'd like to bring. Pray for the zero. Pray, Lord, I don't want that to be a zero. I want to bring somebody. I want to be burdened for the fruit-bearing work in the home meeting, because we're here. We're building the church. I mean, this is the God is building a house, and we are participating in this work. And what are we going to do? Are we gonna lie in our paneled up houses, as it says in Haggai? Are we really going to just be content with coming to the meetings every week and for years not bearing any fruit? This was my condition. I have to confess, you know. And so I really am burdened that everyone here would realize that as the students, especially, Lord Jesus, as the students, you guys are especially primed in a position to carry out this work. You, the community saints, we talk to them day in and day out. They're at work all day, and then they come home. And if they talk to a cashier or someone, you know, that, then they're lucky. But the students, you guys are in classrooms. You're walking around campus with, it's just that you're fish in the fishing pond that we're trying to gain. We're trying to gain this huge lake of fish. And there you are. You're right there among them. You're one of them. We need you. We need you to bring students into the home meeting. But, and I want to encourage you, because you might sound like, you might react and say that this is kind of a daunting challenge, but it's not. Because there's a secret. All you need to do is bring them to the community saints. This is all you need to do. You just need to bring them to the home meetings, and then the home meetings will take care of the rest. It's not a challenge. It's not anything that we're asking you to, it's just go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house. Right? That's it. And it's actually very simple. But we need a burden. And if we're not burdened, then we need to pray for a burden. And if our church is not burdened, we need to pray that the church would be burdened. And if there's no open homes, then we need to pray, Lord, open some homes. Because this is really the vision. This is how we're going to build the house. This is how we're going to build the church. And we need to rise up and, you know, have this burden. So Let's read Roman numeral 1 all together. Purpose of our labor. Amen. So God's eternal purpose is to have the church, and we have to preach and minister Christ to people with the building up of the church in view. So when we go out, this is our burden. You know, this is exactly what we're here doing. We're here to build the church. We talked about it. Brother Ricky, he enunciated it so well. What is our social philosophy? Are you here to change a light bulb on the sinking Titanic? No, we're here to bring about the end of the age. We're here to bring the Lord back. You know, this is why we're here. This is why everyone is here in this training. And so if we're here, then we need to give ourselves. We need to give ourselves completely for this. And the way we do this is through the homes. So we should regularly attend and function in the meetings of the church. The meetings of the church include the Lord's table meeting, the prayer meeting, and the prophesying meeting. So I've mentioned a few times that the building happens in the home, but it's not actually the only way. Actually, there's a lot of building that takes that place, especially in the prophesying meeting, because Paul says, he who prophesies speaks building up. So the home meetings are not the only way to build, but they are the best way. In fact, the homes are the God-ordained way to gather the materials for the house. This is our goal. This should be our goal with the home meetings, is we're bringing the materials, and then they get impressed. They get some amount of building in the homes, and then they start attending the regular meetings. They start attending the Lord's table, the prophesying meeting, the prayer meeting, and this is how we build the church. And so, point C on the outline, we should bring our burden for the students to the church in order to stir up the whole church to pray for what we are doing. When the church picks up this burden, the church will be behind us and will be absolutely one with us in our burden. So this point, I was considering this point a lot when I read it. This is a strong burden that Brother Lee had. And if you read the ministry excerpts too, he talks about it a lot in the ministry excerpts. We need to burden the saints. But this requires a very sober spirit. It requires an amount of delicacy, because if you are in a church, let's say you're in a church with this no home meetings, this is not a theory. Some churches have no home meetings. If you just go in there on Lord's Day and say, saints, we need to have home meetings, and I don't care what you say, but we need to have home meetings. Well, you might offend some saints, and it might not be so wise. So you should really actually take care of this in a way of fellowship, in a way of prayer with your vital companions, in a way of prayer with the elders in your locality. But if you are burdened, which you should be, if I'm doing my job, you should be burdened that there would be home meetings, and that there would be more home meetings, actually. Even if you're, let's say you do have home meetings, but you need more homes. Pray for more homes. Pray with your vital companions, with your nucleus, that there would be more homes to bring students to. Because this is really, without the homes, we're not going to bear that much fruit without the homes. So, amen. And there's one, actually two more things. The YP meeting, in our locality, we have a Saturday night YP meeting. It's actually just a brother's YP meeting, but you should even consider that a home. Actually, you shouldn't have a narrow view of what the homes are, and Brother Paul will talk more about what the homes actually are. But the homes are not just the Friday night home meeting, but even like the YP meeting. You know, you bring the YP to the homes, and as college students, my goodness, you should really enter into the YP work, and even your new ones, even your new college students, bring them into the YP work, because they'll really see a building taking place. And the last point that I want to conclude on is a point that Brother Ron Kangas in the last summer training made in Message 12. He said that the saints are a different breed of Christians. And that point really impressed me, because that was definitely my experience when I came into church life. I met the saints and I didn't even know how to describe them. I was trying to tell my mom about what I had found, and all I could say was, they're just good people. They're really good people. Because I didn't have the utterance. I didn't know I didn't know how to describe the saints. It wasn't that they were just good people, but that's all I knew how to say. And she responded by saying, oh, the Catholic Church is filled with good people too. And then I realized, well, that's not such a, a good way to describe them. But I didn't know what word to use because the saints have a deposit. The saints have something in them that is so rich and so profound. And when another Christian or an unbeliever touches it, they know. They're like, wow, this person who works this 9-to-5 job, they have an utterance beyond any pastor I've ever heard. When I first heard of the tree of life versus the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that blew me away. I was very philosophical when I was in college. But when I first heard the tree of life versus the tree of knowledge, I was like, I grew up thinking it was the tree of good versus the tree of evil. That's what I thought. I thought it was the tree of good versus the tree of evil. And I always thought, why would Adam take the tree of evil? That doesn't make any sense. Why would you take the tree of evil? Duh. But it's the tree of life versus the tree of knowledge. And when I first heard that, that impressed me so much. How do the saints know this? They know so many biblical truths. And not only do they know, not only do they know the word, but it's life. I mean, it's like the impartation of life when the saints speak. They have this unique ability to just impart life with their knowledge of the word and with the Christ that they've built up. And this should be our goal. We should want to bring unbelievers and believers alike to the saints. Just say, okay, here's the unbeliever, here's the saint. Just bring them right here and let the saint do the infusion. They need it actually. A hose needs to flow out in order to flow in. So for their good, you need to bring them fruit so that they can labor on. And then when they labor, then the whole, this is the building up of the church. This is like organic and wonderful. And so I want to impress you that the saints are the way, the community saints in the homes. And we should be burdened, so burdened that we would not let our lack of coordination go for very long. We should really coordinate with the saints and have this in view. So, amen.
You guys enjoying the training?
Amen.
Is this not good? You know why it's good? I'll tell you. It's good because there's burden. I mean, our natural thought of burden is that it's a weight, it's something that we bear. But you know what the divine thought and the divine reality behind burden is? Burden is actually your food. Burden is your food. You need divine burden. The yoke that the Lord gives us is easy, right? It's light. Actually, when you really touch the divine burden, there's a spontaneous supply that comes with it. So this whole training is inundated with burden. Okay, so I just wanted to assemble the three main lines that we have during this training for you. If you haven't noticed this already, I want to put them together for you. And I like this verse. If you only memorize a few verses, I like 2 Peter 1:19. You do well to give heed to the prophetic word, right? Can somebody finish it for me? Dark place. This is in your hearts. Amen. Okay, so we are looking for the full day, the rising of the morning star. We want this new day. Actually, the morning star is Venus, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And actually, I saw it. Some brothers and I used to go up to this little mountain. It's really a hill. But behind my house, we would go up there, and for a year and a half, we would, this is just 2 years ago, we'd go up there at 6 a.m., we found this water tower, and we'd go under this water tower, and we would just release our spirit. These two brothers got gained through this. And we would just go up every morning at 6. And I remember walking up one morning and being like, That, I think it was snowing that morning, honestly. That is the morning star. We went out to go meet it. We saw the morning star. So you want the morning star? Go 6 a.m. Okay, actually, that's during the winter time. You want to catch it here, you probably have to go out at 5. But okay, so we want to see the morning star rising in our heart. Okay? There's a path, though. I'm going to draw it like a railroad track. Okay? Okay, so this is our evening line, right? The Lord's coming. Okay? There's a track, a train. And the train needs fuel. Okay, no train runs on gas, but I don't know how to draw coal or something. Okay, so this is a gas can. Okay? I did not major in art. But, I mean, this is a gas can. Every train needs fuel. You know what the fuel for these times have been? Really? It's the morning line on our spirit, right? Have you guys not been energized, empowered, encouraged that you have a spirit? And there's fuel in that spirit, right? I don't know, all of that, 1,000 megabytes of Google, what was it? Google broadband bandwidth? Google Fiber. It's in there! You know, the gateway might be restricted, you know, you might only get 15 amps or what is it, 6 megabytes? Okay, I'm not an engineer. Philosophy and psychology doesn't help that much here. But the power is there. We're just learning to release it, right? So we're learning how to care for our spirit. But you know what the tracks are here? That's this line that we're on. Actually, the life that we have within us has a certain way that it wants to work itself out. And it's revealed in the Word. But for so many generations, that way was lost. Okay, for millennia, that way was lost. Actually, there's a certain devolution of the church that you can follow. There's a good book. I'll just mention it if you like this kind of reading. It's called Pagan Christianity. I think it's by Frank Barna and somebody else wrote it. But anyways, it talks about the way that the church gradually, after the first century, fell and became institutionalized and became a religious system. And it moved from the picture that we see in Acts chapter 2 into a condition which pervades today, which is largely, you know, large buildings, hierarchical, pastoral and clergy, and systems of worship with particular order. This all evolved, and it was a full departure from the way that God had revealed in the Word and that the early church practiced. So we are desiring to and endeavoring to return to that way that the Lord revealed in the Word. That is the track. You know, I don't know, you might be able to take a train. I've never seen this, but you might be able to run it on some sort of pavement if it was flat enough and so forth. But it's not going to work that well, right? The best way for the train to move is in the tracks that the Lord has ordained. Okay, so this is what we're learning here, right? We're learning to get on the right track. And so for you guys, as students on the campus, there are particular ways that the Lord has laid forth for you to participate, in particular, in the Lord's move. We're not in the age of the missionaries that would go to different continents and, you know, spread the gospel to far abroad peoples. We're in the way of, you know where your missionary field is? Really, it's your campus. It's your neighborhood. It's where you're around. That is where God has placed you as a member in the body. For your function. Okay? So we want to touch a little bit about how you can be in your proper function and in your proper place where you are. Okay? So maybe let's read Roman numeral 2 together. We need to connect the new ones to the homes of the saints to enter the church life. The homes of the saints are their stepping stone into the church life. We need many homes of the saints for the sake of coordination in the gospel work. Every student needs a home to which he can bring his friends. Okay, so let's go ahead and read two verses. Help me, Ashley, let's all do it together. Sisters, can you look up Acts 2:42 and brothers 2:46? So sisters, as soon as you have it. Okay. Steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles, in the breaking of bread and the prayers.
Day by day, continuing steadfastly.
With one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they partook of their food with exultation and simplicity of heart. Okay, so for some of you, this may be old news. But actually, these verses are really significant to us because we see that this is the way that God established the church to practice. As soon as Peter had stood up and spoken, 3,000 got saved on the day of Pentecost, or about 3,000, we see that the church began to meet. Actually, it's very hard to beat what was the beginning. Okay, God started in a particular way, and we are just getting recovered back to the beginning. Okay? So he started with a few things. What did he start with? The teaching and fellowship of the apostles, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Okay. And then in 46, we see that they met where? In the temple? Okay, actually, you guys should know that that meeting in the temple was kind of an accident. Okay? Even the disciples that were closest to the Lord weren't so clear. Actually, honestly, probably we're a little bit clearer now than some of those early disciples were in terms of what God's purpose was and how He's planning to work it out. Okay, so they still thought that they were supposed to practice in the temple. But actually, God had departed from that temple, right? Like in Matthew, the Lord says, I leave your house to you barren. Okay, He had departed from the temple, but the disciples still were going. But actually, the intention was that they would just be in house to house. House to house. House to house is the way that God has ordained the church to meet and to practice. Okay, there is certainly a proper place and need for larger gatherings. Okay, I don't know any houses that could fit all of us, right? So we're very happy that there is a facility such as this. But on a daily basis, we need homes. We need houses, okay? So, let's go ahead and read A. Pray, fellowship, and see if there are any homes near the campus in your locality that are available. It is worthwhile to have a home that is very close to the campus. Okay, so, actually, you know where my wife and I meet or live? We live 30 feet away from the campus. It's actually quite good. I say that I could throw a frisbee from my roof to the freshman dorm. Actually, Lisa's going to be a freshman at UVA next semester. I don't think I could reach your dorm. Maybe someone who's a little better. Actually, I think Phil plays disc golf, right? Phil might be able to reach it. He probably can play better than I can. But it's very good to be right next to the campus. Some of us have that. Some of us don't. But it is good to have a home that's right next to the campus. Okay, so we see that God instituted homes as His way for the church to meet. In our era, and where we are, it's very good for those homes to be right next to the campus. So as much as possible, and I think many of us already know this and have seen this and are in homes that are near the campus, be right close to it, okay? The next two points I'll spend a little bit of time on. But I want to switch the order, okay? So let's read C first, okay? We also need to be connected to the homes of the new ones. The best way to care for the new believers is to set up home meetings where they live. Okay, so I want to point out something here. In these 4 points that are in Roman numeral 2, the first is on praying in fellowship. Right? The second, C is on homes of the new ones. And the third, B, is on our homes. Okay, so we need to realize we have homes and others have homes. We need to have both meetings in both. Right? The verses from Luke 19 are where it's like, the Lord goes out and he meets Zacchaeus, right? It says, today, I'm coming to your house. You're making me dinner, right? Okay, and then if you look in Acts chapter 10, you see that Peter is praying up on the roof. And he has some speaking from the Lord, right? You know, he's a little confused in terms of what he's supposed to do, and, you know, it takes a little persuading, but eventually gets it, right? I'm supposed to go to Cornelius' house. Okay, this is where I want to bring something out. Actually, we have to have the faith that when the Lord leaves us somewhere, he is operating in others in the same way, in a way to correspond to the way that he's leading us. So Cornelius went out, Peter went out, and he went to Cornelius' house. He didn't send a messenger beforehand. Hey, Cornelius, do you mind if I come over maybe tomorrow or so? You know, he just showed up. Okay, we need to get in the practice of visiting people. Okay, this is practical. When a freshman comes to your campus, you know what you need to do? You need to go to them. Amen. You need to start by visiting them. Aren't you happy that God didn't set up a home meeting and say, "Well, come on up, you know? Come out of our third heavens. We'll have a meeting, you know?" He came to visit man. So we need to be visiting people. Okay? We need to go to where they are. Set up a meeting in their home. Okay. So some of the practical things here. When you go and visit somebody, when you go to their home, first thing I would say, bring food. Okay? I do this all the time. You know what I mean? Bring a little snack. I used to go and visit these brothers in Richmond, right, Jeremy? And you just bring a little something. It's a real cherishing. Instead of, you know, going there and being like, "Well, what's in your cupboards here?" Yeah? Bring something. The Lord said, you give them food, right? Okay. Second thing, keep it short. Don't wear out your welcome, right? So just go, show up, sometimes unannounced, and visit them. And maybe stay 15 minutes. If the Lord opens the door, you can maybe say something from the Word. Minister a little something. Snack. Give them food at the proper time. Right? Just a little bit. But then depart before they start wanting you to depart. Okay? Always leave someone a little hungry. Okay? So, you guys got this? Be ones who visit people. Go to their homes. Okay. Okay, now let's read C. Oh, sorry, B. Using our homes for the gospel has many advantages. Let's read 1, 2, 3. The homes are the place where God's activity is carried out. Human beings need a society. The sweetest and most restful place is the home. There are many lonely and homesick college freshmen, and we must take this opportunity to fill up their gap in their hearts with Christ by opening our homes. Okay, so you catch this. Now we have our homes. First we go to their home, and then they come to our home. Okay? Some of us may not have homes, but we'll get to that. Because there are saints who do have homes. But that's D. But we need to see that the homes are the place where God's activity is carried out. I enjoy these verses. In Mark chapter 2, you guys probably know this this reference, this story at least, where the Lord Jesus is, actually it says, he's at home. He's in his home. I wasn't sure actually whose home that was. It doesn't say. But he's just at home. And it says that, you know, there was quite a crowd. How did they gather there? I don't know. But somehow they're packed in. It was like it was bumping. You know, the walls were shaking, right? So they couldn't get in. So what did they do? They ripped out the roof. I wonder whose home, what the homeowner was thinking, you know what I mean? So they ripped out the roof and they lowered that paralytic down. Sometimes we got to be those who rip off roofs, right? To get our friends to Jesus. Okay. I don't know. I don't think they asked the homeowner, right? Just get somebody to Jesus. Okay, sometimes Jesus is, he's in the home meeting. You got to rip off a roof to get in. That might mean it's a little uncomfortable at some point. But just get the person to Jesus. Okay. Then we see in Matthew chapter 9 that this is where Matthew's opened up his home. Zacchaeus opened his. Matthew opens his home. And he has all these tax collectors. I was wondering, those probably were like the dregs of society right there. You know what I mean? They're like, finally got invited somewhere, you know? Somebody, you know, normally they're going around and, you know, come on, pay up, you know? Nobody invited them to their homes, right? But Matthew opened up his home and he had all the tax collectors there. And Jesus was just right at home. You read that actually, and you know, the Pharisees come in and they're not so happy, but you realize actually the Lord there doesn't give a message to those tax collectors. He's not like, you know, okay guys, I know where you've been. You know what I mean? I know what you've done. I know where your money comes from. You know? No. He was just eating with them. Sometimes, actually, it's good just to have people over. Just have some friends that you just open and you feed. And maybe you need to do that 3 times before you actually speak something of the word to them. Actually, this helped me one time. A brother shared this. The picture of Jericho is very helpful to me. Okay, so, you know, the children of Israel wanted to take the city of Jericho. So the Lord said what? For 6 days, walk around that city. Don't say anything. Right? Don't say anything for 6 days. Wow, I don't know how they shut up the little kids. You know? 6 days, just walk, you know? Don't say anything. 6 days. Sometimes you've got some friends, they're not so open, their heart's not so warm, but they have eternity in their heart, you know? You just walk around them. You just keep walking. Just keep walking. Keep walking. 7th day, what do? Blow the trumpets! Okay, but learn. Learn when that threshold is. You know? It's not till the 7th day. Because if you start blowing on that 6th day, God's not with you. Better not charge that wall. It's not coming down, you know? Learn to wait for the 6th day. You know what I mean? And the thing is, in our society today, we are just overly marketed to people. All of America is, for the most part. You know what I mean? It's on billboards, it's on buses, it's on our phones, it's on our TVs, it's on the internet, it's on our email. We're just marketed to people. And so people just have all of these walls up, right? And so you have to learn to watch for the wall. You know what I mean? Wait till the wall comes down. Live Christ in a normal way. You know, Francis Assisi, I think he said, preach the gospel at all times. Use words when necessary. Okay, use words. It is necessary, but at the right time. Okay, so, you know, the Lord in Matthew 9, he was just walking around them for a little while. Okay? I don't know how many of them got saved. But, and then Acts 16, this is beautiful as well. Lydia, right? Lydia was one who, when she received the gospel, she was really a son of peace, daughter of peace. She opened up her home. She was actually first fruits of the church in Philippi. We see that homes are where God operates. So I wanted to do a quick little study here. If you think about it, I was thinking about it last night in fellowshipping with my roommate about, you look at the book of Acts and consider as the Apostle Paul moved through the different places, you know, he, in his first, second, third missionary journey, consider how many places were there churches raised up where there was not a home or a family in order to be the container for that church. So, you know, for example, the first place he goes to, I think it's, what is it, Cyprus, preaches the gospel, and there's a proconsul that got saved. But there's never any indication that on that island there was a church raised up. You look at Derbe, certainly he gained Timothy at Derbe. But you look in Timothy, and you see that actually he gained his mother and his grandmother, you know what I mean? You see that when Paul went to Philippi, he gained Lydia. When he got to Corinth, he gained a real golden couple. He got Prisca and Aquila. who actually were then useful in Ephesus, later in Rome. You look in Colossians, there's the house of Nymphis. There's a household there. You look in Acts, you look in Romans chapter 16. Count the number of families you see. Or couples. You realize, we were doing this last night, I think there was 9 couples. If you look at it carefully. In other words, what I'm saying is that couples are the fundamental building block of the church. They have a home. And that home is the base for the building up of the church. Okay, so many of you guys don't have homes yet. But when you do, and you will soon, you will all get married. Don't worry about it, you know? So when it does happen, open up your home. And actually learn how to open your home. And, you know, the husband and the wife being in the same page is actually really key. Actually, sisters, it's more on you than it is on the brothers. Open up your home. You'll be the base of the church. Actually, in many places that the Lord wants to spread, He needs homes. Okay, so in D, we get to the point. We need to learn how to coordinate with these homes, these families. Because guess what? God's eternal purpose is not for Christian students at UVA. Okay? It's not for Christians on campus at UGA. It's for the church. So our desire is that the church would be built up. Okay, so to do that, we need to coordinate with the fundamental building blocks of the church. That are the homes, the families, okay? So, actually, before I do that, maybe EJ, I've mentioned a few things now. Maybe you could come and share a little bit of your testimony.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to share briefly a little bit about my experience in the homes. I got saved in 2011, and shortly thereafter, I left to go to school in Richmond. And when I first got to Richmond, I was seeking some Christian fellowship, and I had a friend who had actually been seeking as well, and he led me to a Christian meeting. I kind of just decided to go, and I ended up in a Christian meeting with Christians on campus at VCU. And my initial reaction was like most of ours, that the environment was very different. Predominantly that the meeting was in the home, you know. And you could just tell that there was just an atmosphere of peace there, you know. It was just very good to be in the homes. It wasn't something that I was very used to. So I would sum up my experience in the house like this. So first I came to the home. When I got there, I was a little closed. I wasn't sure what to expect. But, you know, I began to open, you know, kind of just being open to the experience. And I began to enjoy. And then from that enjoyment, I just began to grow. But initially, I would say it was just a very good experience being in the homes. And so a lot of the time that we spend, is in the homes. You know, we do a lot of coordinating with the saints. And the experience is just very different for me. And I would say really it's very essential to get the students into the homes, because I wasn't getting really at the meetings, you know. I was in a sense, but really, very shortly after I started coming, I started going to like Friday night meetings here, Friday night meetings there. And just the love and the care from the local saints really just kind of broke down any walls that I had. And next thing you know, I was asking to come to this meeting, that meeting. But actually, initially, there may be some walls, and the way to break through those walls is just to connect the students with the saints, you know? Because like our brother said, you know, we're lonely, you know, we're not so sure what's going on. But once we touch the Lord, in the homes with the saints, we're a lot more open. And now I live in a brother's house. This is my second brother's house. And, you know, this idea of home meeting was very foreign to me before. But now I just see that this is just the way, you know. We see in Acts 5:42, that the Lord was home and they were teaching in the houses. You know, this thought shouldn't be so foreign to us, but it is. But I appreciate that if the Lord met in the homes, you know, so could we. And, I appreciate just that this was the standard, you know, the Lord set the standard, and this was the way. So we shouldn't stray from it, because the homes are intimate and they just give such a way to teach. So I think, yeah, that's about it.
Okay, so the essence of it is really that when EJ came to campus, he was a freshman who was looking for a home. The home was right next to campus. He got connected and he began to sample the goods of the divine life that were laden within all of the older saints, okay? So sometimes we say that, you know, you guys are the face of the church on the campus. You are. You really are. But you know what? Facial tissue is not so structurally sound. You ever tried lifting weights with your cheeks? You know? I mean, you're going to lose some skin if you try that, right? Okay. You have to realize that you only have so much musculature spiritually. You need the strength of saints, right? And so you need to learn how to coordinate. You need to know how to get joined to saints that are older than you. And so this is where we're going to get into this last point. And hopefully there's some handles. Okay, coordinating is not easy. It's one word. You'd think it's easy. Not so easy. Okay, so we're all learning really how to coordinate. So just maybe hopefully we all can learn a little bit more. Let's read it together. D1234. Saints of all ages in each locality can participate and coordinate together for the gospel work on the college campuses. Saints in every locality are well coordinated. The new ones will be inspired with what they see. They will see the real social life, communal life, and family life. Our service in coordination will touch, soften, and warm up their hearts to receive the living, piercing word. The saints' living rooms should be filled with the enjoyment of Christ, especially through singing and psalming. Such an atmosphere of enjoyment and mutuality requires a great deal of coordination. Once a freshman is brought into our living room, most of the work is already done. Okay, saints, we need to be coordinated together with ones that are older. Okay, some of the complexity here is that there's these generational gaps between you and some that are older. Some of you guys may only have grandmas in your locality. Okay, and sometimes with that gap is this problem of communication. We just don't know exactly what to say or how to relate. And it's both sided, okay? So you may not know what to say, and they don't know what to say. Okay, so somebody needs to, you know, remember, bridge that gap. Okay, so I want to bring up three letters. Okay, FPCC. Okay, it's three letters, just two of the last one. Okay, so if you guys can really get this, this is how you can begin to coordinate with someone. One is fellowship. Okay, this term actually needs further defining too, because a lot of times we think that just telling people what to do is fellowship. It's not quite fellowship. A lot of fellowship is just opening up a need. It's opening up what your situation or what your burden is. So you can go to someone and you can say, look, I'm burdened. I'm burdened for fruit on the campus. You may be able to, you could go to an older saint in the church and they might seem like the most backslidden one in the whole group, you know? But if you just say this, I'm burdened to bear fruit. I've got this burden. You know what? You just engulfed that saint with burden. As soon as you open up your need, your burden, in a proper way, don't tell the saints, look, we need to do this. Open up what's inside of you. And then pray for it. Lord Jesus, somebody, can you pray with me for this according to what I've opened up? Actually, you know, these two together trigger these two. Okay, this one is care. And this one is coordination. Okay? When you use the trigger of prayer and fellowship, what it ignites is a certain organic care. I mean, this is a law in the universe, okay? Spiritually. Oh, Lord. When you properly fellowship and pray with somebody, something happens where it ignites the Lord within somebody else to care. There are a lot of riches in the older saints that need to be released. And you guys are the way through which they can be brought into function. Don't think of yourself as, you know, I'm the one that bringing you into function. Just open your burden and that will organically flow out. And then a practical coordination can ensue. Okay, I'll give you a couple practical points regarding this. If you go to somebody's home, going this way, actually. Okay, I'm going to embarrass somebody. Okay. When I was growing up, and my son is now like me, I was very, it was hard for me to receive affection. So my mom, I always like pushed her aside, you know what I mean? No. So if I try to go, my son's Caleb, you want a hug? Daddy, you want to give Daddy a hug? He's like, no way, you know what I mean? He takes off the other direction. But when he wants affection, what he does is he just like backs up to me. This is what I used to do to him. He just like backs up like he wants to get cuddled, you know what I mean? It's like that. Okay. So a lot of times the older saints, they just need somebody that's, you know, coming up against them, you know what I mean? Like they're just standing there. Actually, you really need to understand certain of the psychology of an older person is they're careful because they don't want to damage somebody. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. They need somebody to back up against them. Okay, just learn how to back up against somebody, you know what I mean? And just get loved on, you know what I mean? And help others. Thank you. Sorry. I was hoping Brother Tim would be here and I could do it to him. He'd be embarrassed. But he's used so many brothers as examples that I figured he deserved it. Not you, but Brother Tim. We just need to learn how to not only do so yourself, but bring others to the saints and in a proper way. Just bring them. Actually, another thing I remember when I was growing up, I lived in St. Augustine, Florida, and we lived in a really bad neighborhood, and there were these stray cats everywhere. And there was this mother cat that like adopted our family. And so I just remember we would come out on the doorstep of our house and the mother had brought her babies to us. She brought one little baby and there were just these, like brand new born kittens. And she would leave actually. She would bring this kitten and we'd come out, there was five kids in my family, we'd come out, we were overjoyed, you know what I mean? A baby kitten, you know? And you know, this little meow. Their eyes weren't even open, you know? And so we took the kitten in. And then the next day we'd come out, there's another kitten! So we take that kitten in, you know? We got five or six kittens out of there, you know? Well, we never saw the mom. She just brought her kittens. Actually, we need to learn how to just bring your kittens! You know what I mean? Bring your kittens! We know how to milk, you know, get milk and feed those kittens. The saints know how. They've got the milk. They've got it. They just need an outlet, okay? So, you guys, nobody can do it like you guys. You have a chance in your college years to vitalize the church through this kind of function. This really is not a small thing. Okay? Okay, so two small helps, just real quick. When in coordinating with the saints, two phrases. Please write these down. One is, how can I help? Okay, if you don't want to wear out your welcome really quick, say this. How can I help? Okay, let's say this all together. How can I help? Okay, next thing. What can I bring? Let's say this together. What can I bring? Okay, the answer to those, both of them might be, you're okay. But actually, just learn these two things. When you try to coordinate with somebody, just how can I help? Is there any way, can I do the dishes afterwards? You know what I mean? Can I bring anything? Don't expect, you know, Me. Can I bring anything? Okay, I'll just leave you with those two things. I'm sorry, I took all the time. Praise the Lord.